I think I'm going to pinch your phone then.
Okay.
Over to you.
Thanks, Keith. Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see so many people here this morning. I'm afraid, unfortunately, for those of you who are from Fuller, have got me again next week. So you're not out of the woods yet, unfortunately, but that's how it goes. Anyway, we're here to worship God. We're going to gather around the Lord's table later on this morning to share the bread and the wine and to take communion together. We're going to start off, we're going to ask Margaret to come forward to read us a couple of verses from the prophet Isaiah.
The reading is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, and then 6 and 7. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. For a child is born to us, a son is given. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Amen.
Thank you, Margaret. So we're here now to come and worship our Saviour. Angels from the realms of glory, come and worship. Come and worship Christ, the newborn King. tears that would like to come up and light them. Don't all rush at once, Sandra. Come on then, Jackie. Anybody else like to? Can we light the candle? Come on then, Steve. Seth. Thank you. It's good, isn't it, to have candles, to have light, to remind us that Jesus is the light of the world. And we'll be thinking about Jesus being our light this morning. But let's start by just committing our service to him. Father God, we thank you that you sent Jesus to this earth to be the light of the world. Father, we're so conscious that we live in a world of darkness, of sin, places, Lord, where you are shut out and people, Lord, aren't aware, Lord, of your light. We thank you, Father, that you sent Jesus to be our light. And we pray, Father, that he might lighten up, Lord, all the dark places, Lord, in the world in which we live. We thank you, Father, for our service of worship this morning. And we pray, Father, that we might indeed see the light of Christ shining among us as we sing our songs together, as we pray together, as we listen to your word. That we just share, Lord, in fellowship together. We just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity of bringing us together, Lord, on this Sunday between Christmas and New Year. A time, Lord, where we continue to celebrate and to worship, Lord Christ, our newborn King. But also, Father, as we look forward to a new year, Lord, next week, and we pray, Father, that we might really hear your voice speaking to us this morning as we worship together. May your Spirit, Lord, bless and anoint our worship today, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask Mike now, who's going to read to us from John and chapter 1. Those of you who are here Fuller on Christmas Day will probably notice these are the exact same two readings we have then, but we're going to look at a slightly different aspect then, so don't worry, Mike.
Actually, Steve told me verses 1 to 8 is 1 to 18.
18, yeah.
Yes. Yes, Steve apologises, he's not well, but he's thinking about us this morning, so we can pray for him later perhaps. I'm going to read then verses 1 to 18 from John and chapter 1. The Word of Life. Before the world was created, the Word already existed. He was with God, and he was the same as God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through him, God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without him. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. God sent his messenger, a man named John. who came to tell people about the light, so that all should hear the message and believe. He himself was not the light. He came to tell about the light. This was the real light, the light that comes into the world and shines on all mankind. The Word was in the world, and though God made the world through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own country, but his own people did not receive him. Some, however, did receive him and believed in him. So he gave them the right to become God's children. They did not become God's children by natural means, that is, by being born as the children of a human father. God himself was their father. The Word became a human being and, full of grace and truth, lived amongst us. We saw his glory, the glory which he received as a father's only son. And John spoke about him. He cried out, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'He comes after me, but he is greater than I am, because he existed before I was born.' Out of the fullness of his grace, he has blessed us all, giving us one blessing after another. God gave the law through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only Son, who is the same as God and is at the Father's side. He has made him known." The Word of God. Thanks be to God for his Word. Amen. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Mike. Before we come to consider some of those verses that Mike just read to us, we're going to sing another song together now. "Longing for light, we wait in darkness. Christ, be our light."
You know, light plays a very important part, doesn't it, in our lives. I'm very relieved, actually, that the light on my tablet here, which I'm using, has lit up today. Otherwise, I'd be a bit stuffed when trying to do the talk this morning. But it's quite difficult, I think, isn't it, to imagine what it would be like to live in a world of total darkness, where there wasn't any light at all. Some years ago, we used to live in a village in Suffolk, actually, and in that particular village, there weren't actually many street lights, and you could go out at night, and it was completely pitch black, and you had to take a torch with you to see where you were going, and you could hardly kind of put one foot in front of the other, and you've got to be very, very careful where you were going. We've been thinking this morning about Jesus being the light of the world, and in those verses that Mike read to us a little while ago, it talks about Jesus being the light that came into the world, the light in the darkness. And I want to focus really on two verses from that passage. The first one is verse 5, and the first thing is that the writer says, John, the gospel writer says, that Jesus' light overcomes our darkness. Now, the thing about darkness is we only know it's dark when there isn't any light, don't we? That's kind of how it works really. If you didn't know what darkness and light was, if there wasn't sort of two different things, it'd be difficult to tell one from the other. I read about a child that was kept locked up in a cupboard for many, many years in complete darkness. And eventually, you know, horrific child abuse case. And eventually, when the child was let out, you know, she really couldn't cope because of the brightness and the light around her. It was a completely alien concept. And she had to have her eyes bandaged for many, many months afterwards until her eyes eventually became accustomed to the light around us. And of course, God has created a world where light and darkness play important parts, don't we? God created night and day. He created the sun and the moon, the light and the darkness. And he's also given us lots of things that we can use to help us to be light or warmth when those things aren't around. Today we've lit up the Advent candles, and I'm sure we're all going home to houses that are warm, aren't there? And you know, we've got fires and things that we can go to. But unless we really understand the difference between physical light and physical darkness, it's probably difficult to understand when God talks to us about spiritual light and spiritual darkness. In verse 5 of chapter 1, it says, "The light shines in the darkness." The light shines in the darkness. Now, we've got quite a few candles in our house, and one of the things that I've got is a candle with a nativity scene on it. So, I hope this is going to work. Oh, yep. And we often use candles, don't we, as a symbol to remind us of God's light in the world. In the Message version of the Bible, it's often referred to as the life light. In other words, it's the shines in the spiritual darkness in which we live. And of course, light takes the darkness away, doesn't it? You know, we have in a dark room and we hold up a candle around us, eventually the light moves around, doesn't it, as to where the candle goes. And of course, God wants us to live in a world where the light of Jesus shines perpetually, doesn't he? But unfortunately, that's not the kind of world that we live in, unfortunately. And we live in a world where there's probably more darkness than there is light. And of course, the Bible calls this darkness sin, doesn't it? The things that have got into this world that have spoilt the light of Christ. What sort of colour carpets have you got in your house? Anybody like to share their carpet colour? Pardon?
Dirt colour.
Dirt colour. Anybody got a white carpet? People don't like white carpets, do they? Because they show up all the bits, don't they? We had a dark red carpet once, actually, and that's as bad as a white carpet, actually. And I used to do Sandra's head in, actually, because very often when I used to be at work, she used to hoover the carpet, and it used to be all nice and clean. I used to come home, and I used to notice bits on the carpet. And so I used to get the hoover out and used to hoover up again, didn't I? And so I just said, I'm on. I think she's exaggerated a bit there, actually. But you know, you don't notice muck on a carpet when it's that sort of multi-fleck type of stuff, do you? But you do notice it on a carpet which is one particular colour or another. The dirt shows up, doesn't it? And of course, when Jesus came into the world, he came, if you like, to show up all the bits, didn't he? The bits on the carpet, the bits in our lives that need to be hoovered up or swept away. Jesus came into this world to deliver us from our sins. And of course, he's given us the Bible, hasn't he, to help us to see where our sins are, our darknesses, the things in our lives that need to be sorted out. Now, if you read Psalm 105, it talks about the Bible, or his word, being a lamp unto my feet, in a way that helps us, a light that helps us to navigate our way through the darkness in the life in which we live. But you know, it's difficult, isn't it, in today's world to try and, you know, live the kind of life that God wants us to be. You know, and the darkness just seems to pervade, doesn't it, or in all ways around us. And you know, it's difficult to understand as well why other people can't see the light of Jesus in the world in which we live, isn't it? It's really hard, isn't it, to talk to people about our faith. You know, people just don't want to listen, do they? And the world has almost become sort of sanitized or desensitized to talk about Jesus. So the first thing then is that Jesus's light was sent to overcome our darkness. The second thing is, and this is in verse 7, is that John says that we are to be witnesses to the light. We are to be witnesses to the light. In verse 7 it says this, he, that's John the Baptist, came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. The Message puts it like this. It said, there was once a man, his name is John, sent by God to point out the way to the life light. He came to show everyone where to look, who to believe in. John was not himself the light. He was there to show the way, to point the way to the light. Of course, when we read the story of John the Baptist, you know, we have a good example there, don't we, who spent his whole life pointing people to Jesus, preaching the message, telling people about Jesus who was to come. And John's saying here that, like John the Baptist, we too have got a responsibility to share our faith with others, to be light in this dark world. I brought some other candles along this morning as well. Because very often we light a candle from another candle, don't we? Unfortunately, health and safety has taken away a lot of the fun of candles these days, isn't it? I'm a little bit, I'll burn my finger on this. We've got three candles there. Perhaps we can think about those as our three churches. Fuller, Rockingham Road, and Carey. And God sent his light, his son, Jesus, didn't he, into the world to be our light. And Jesus transfers that light, doesn't he, to us as individuals and to us as churches to spread that light to others. You know, one light on its own, one candlelight in a, you know, it doesn't make, you can't sort of see the effect, can you? If we switched all the lights off and it was completely dark in here, then obviously the candles would make more of an impact than they would because of all the other ambient light in the area. But of course, with in a dark world, in somewhere that's really dark, candles can make a huge impact. But one candle on its own can make a big impact as well, can't it? In the right corner. And God has sent each one of us to be lights in this dark world. But he wants us, I think, not to be just single lights on our own, but to be part of a larger light as well. Did you know that lighthouses, the strength of the light in the lighthouses, are measured in candle power? Got a picture of a, here we are, a picture of a lighthouse there. And apparently, lights can be vary from 10 candle power to 28 million candle power. You know, just imagine 28 million candles in a lighthouse. And of course, the job of a lighthouse is to warn people about the dangers of going too near the rocks, isn't it? That's the reason we have lighthouses. So the analogy I just want us to think about this morning is that we're a bit like lighthouses, aren't we? We're there to warn people to keep away from the rocks, to keep away from the rocks of sin and the things in this world that are going to harm them. You know, the dark, we don't live in a completely black world. We kind of live in a bit of a murky world, don't we, where things are not totally black and white. And of course, people have lost their way. People can't see the difference between right and wrong, can they? Between good and evil, between light and darkness. And it's our job, God saying, that we are the ones that need to show them the difference between those two things. We have a responsibility to be lights for Jesus, to make a difference in the world in which we live. So the question is, you know, has Jesus, first of all, had an impact in our own personal lives? Has he overcome the sin, the darkness that we have in our own hearts? We're going to gather around the Lord's table in a moment or two. And one of the things that we go ask ourselves before we come around the communion table is, you know, examine ourselves and look at the sin within our hearts and to deal with those things. And the second thing is, are we witnesses to the light? Are we sharing the light that we have with other people? Paul says in Ephesians and chapter 5, he says, live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. So we just pray at this Christmas time that we, like Jesus, might be lights in this dark world and just help others to see something of the light that Jesus has. Amen. Let's just pray, shall we? Father God, we do live in a dark and a difficult world, Lord, where sin seems to have overcome, Lord, the light that you sent when Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago. Lord, when we look around us, we can see so much evil and so much wickedness in the world in which we live. And we think of all of those areas, Father, where there are wars and conflict, greed, where a few people have a lot of things, Lord, but aren't willing to share them with those who have nothing. Father, we pray this Christmas time that people, Lord, might see your light in the darkness. We pray, Father, for your church in this world. Father, we've seen so much evidence recently of governments trying to suppress the ability of Christians to be able to share their faith, not only in other countries of the world, Lord, but even in our own land, Father. It's getting more and more difficult to share our faith with others in case people become offended. Lord, we pray that you will grant us your strength and your help, Lord, to overcome these things. We pray, people, for those in darkness because of ill health, those who are finding life a struggle and difficult at the moment. Lord, we remember those who are unwell at this time. Lord, we know of many people who've been struck down with this bug that seems to be going around the town at the moment. And we pray, Lord, for those who aren't here this morning because they are unwell at home. Be with them, Lord, and we pray that you will heal them and be close to them, Lord, at this time. We pray too, Father, for those who are bereaved. It's sad, Lord, to hear about the passing of Rex Gilman and Iris Swannell, Lord, and others, Father, at this Christmas time who have lost loved ones. And we just pray, Lord, for their families, that you might comfort them, that, Lord, they might look to you and just see a light, Father, in their darkness. And finally, Father, we just pray for ourselves. As we come to the communion table, Lord, in a minute or two, Lord, we pray that you might help us, Lord, to really examine ourselves, that your light might come close up to us and just show us, Lord, things that we need to do to become more like you. We ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we come around the communion table, we're going to sing another song today. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. those who are helping to serve communion this morning, perhaps you'd like to step forward, please. So we're here this morning to celebrate and to remember what Jesus did for us upon the cross. And I'm going to read you these words. It says, if you truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbours and are resolved to lead a new life following the commandments of God, and walking henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith. Take this sacrament to your comfort and growth in grace. Come to this sacred table, not because you must, but because you may. Come not to testify that you are righteous, but that you sincerely love our Lord Jesus Christ and desire to be his true disciples. Come not because you are strong, but because you are weak, not because you have any claim on heaven's rewards, but because of your frailty and sin, you stand in constant need of heaven's mercy and help. Let's just bow our heads for a moment and just bring before God those things that are in our lives that we just need to confess, those things that might be getting in the way of our relationship with God or with others. Just ask God to take away those things that are getting in the way of our walk with him. Lord, forgive us, Lord, for those things that have wronged you and have wronged others. We just pray, Lord, that you'll take them away so that, Lord, we might live the kind of life that you want us to lead. Amen. I'll read you a few verses from 1 Corinthians and chapter 11, which are words that the Apostle Paul wrote when he was passing on to those early Christians about the Lord's Supper, trying to explain to them what it was all about. And he said this, he said, for the tradition which I handed on to you came to me from the Lord himself, that on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, this cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I'm going to ask Keith now to come forward and just offer a prayer of thanksgiving now.
Let us pray. As we stand on the threshold of this new year, our hearts are filled with hopes, dreams, and aspirations. The new year presents a fresh canvas upon which we can paint the story of our lives. It's a time when we can reflect on the past, learn from our experiences, and look forward to the future with optimism and faith, and turn to the power of prayer, seeking guidance, strength, and blessings. As we step into the unknown, we pray for the hope to light our way. Grant us the strength to face challenges with unwavering faith and the belief that each day brings new opportunities. We trust in your guidance, knowing that you are the source of all hope and inspiration. In the midst of this fast-paced world, we yearn for peace. Let your calming presence be a refuge, and may your peace fill our hearts and homes. Guide us to resolve conflicts with compassion and understanding within ourselves and within others. May this year be a time of harmony and tranquility where we find solace in your loving embrace. Lord, grant us the strength to face the challenges you may bring us. In moments of doubt, may we find resilience and persevere. Help us to learn from adversity, grow stronger in our faith, and emerge from trials with grace, courage. We trust that you'll be by our side. We can overcome any obstacle. As we step into the unknown, we ask for courage and confidence. Grant us the bravery to face challenges head on and the belief in our abilities to overcome. May we be steadfast in the convictions, knowing that you are the ultimate source of strength. Let this year be marked with unwavering confidence in your plan. You are our ultimate source of strength. Let this year be marked by unwavering confidence in your plan for our lives. In this year we pray for patience and understanding. We seek inner peace and tranquility. We pray for good health and vitality. We seek creativity and inspiration. We pray for your protection and safety. We pray for hearts filled with compassion and kindness. As we embark on the journey of 2025, let it be marked by a clear sense of purpose and a deep connection to your plan for our lives. Let us embrace the opportunity and the lessons that this year has in store for us, trusting in your guidance with faith, unity, and unwavering hope. And may the year's journey be full of blessings and growth. All this we ask in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Keith. So Jesus took the bread as a symbol, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat this. Do this in memory of me." And as we take the bread, well, as we receive it, we'll eat of it individually to remind us that Christ died upon that cross. His body was broken for each one of us individually. After supper, Jesus took the cup, the wine, and he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And as we receive the cup, we'll retain it, and then we'll drink together as a sign of our oneness, our unity in the body of Christ. Jesus comes again and takes us to heaven with him. Heaven's described as a place where there's everlasting light. There'll be no more darkness because the glory of God will shine every single day. But until that time, God commands us to remember Jesus as we drink the wine together, the blood of Christ shed for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Send us out into the world to live and to work to your praise and glory. Amen. We're going to sing our final hymn. We're going to sing another carol now. The first Noel, the angel did say. Israel. You got any voice left? Shall we say the grace together and to one another? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.